All right, if you're ready to have a good time, say uh-huh. If you're ready to have a good time, say uh-huh. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, buckle up. We're going for a ride. Look to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, my other neighbor needs a tic-tac. All right, by show of hands, if you remember me as an NBA player, raise your hand. If you have never heard of me before in your life, raise your hand. Well, I've never heard of you either. Now, what I want to do today is tell you my story, but most importantly, give you some information on how to be successful. It is awesome to be back in this building because years ago, I was in this building not talking but playing basketball. And for years, people told me that talk is cheap. I'm a full-time motivational speaker. I make a living talking. Now, this is not correct English, but talk ain't cheap, if you know what you're talking about. So I want to tell you my story this morning and give you some information and motivation to make sure that you live your dream. How about that? Now, here's your typical NBA story. You guys all heard it before. Young black man grows up in the rough and tough inner city, the ghetto. He plays his way out the ghetto into the NBA and breaks the curse of poverty, only to go broke again. If you heard that story before, say, uh-huh. Lesson number one, if you want to be successful in life, cut off the news. The media's job, it's not to tell us the truth. The media's job is to make money. The media has figured out that America is addicted to negative information, so every night at 6, what do we get? Negative information. If you paid attention to the media, you would swear every black guy in the NBA goes broke, and we were all raised by single moms in some inner city somewhere. My story is very different. My story is very unique. I promise you, my story you have never heard before in your life. My father was 6'6", 240 pounds. My father said what he meant, and he meant what he said. My daddy was a country boy from Tennessee, moved to Chicago to raise his family, and became a high school principal. Everyone in my family has master's degrees. I didn't play my way out the ghetto. I was going to college anyway. If I needed some money, I would say, yo, pops, I need some money. My daddy drove Lincoln Continentals as long as it stayed. But here's where my life got tricky. My father was a 6'6", 240-pound high school principal, and I remember the first day of high school. My mother dressed me up in a nice outfit, and I walked in the first day of high school like this. Now, the one thing I learned about the NBA is simple, and I want to help you today. Confidence is a skill set. If you want to be the best in the world at what you do, I give you permission to be confident. When I left sports and got into the real world, I began to realize people struggle with confidence. I hate to be hard on ladies, but ladies, you're so hard on each other. You hear women say this all the time. I cannot stand that woman right there. Oh, she gets on my nerves. She thinks she's all that. Ladies, you know I'm telling the truth. Help me finish this statement. Who does she... Who does she think she is? Well, you know, I played in the NBA. Let me help you out. Michael Jordan knew who he was. LeBron James knows who he is. I want you guys to hear me and hear me good. Confidence is arrogance under control. That's all confidence is. I give you permission to be confident. The only way you can be successful in life is you got to have confidence. You should be as confident as you can be without crossing the line into arrogance. And here's why. Arrogant people stop growing. Arrogant people stop developing because arrogant people think they have arrived. People ask me all the time, do you miss the NBA? No, not at all. Oh, yes, you do. No, I don't. Think about it. I have a very successful motivational speaking business. So people think I miss the money. I don't miss the money because I make more. I don't miss the travel because I travel more. The only thing I miss about the NBA and being in an arena like this is being around 15 people all day long who are thoroughly convinced they're the best in the world at what they do. That's what I miss about the NBA. I can't recreate that fellowship. There's a speaker named Brian Tracy who says this: your salary will be the average of your five closest friends. As you become a professional, never forget that. Whoever you hang around, you will become like. What does that mean for you as a high school student? Your GPA will be the average of your five closest friends. So if you ever find yourself needing a high GPA, get some new friends. If you ever find yourself as a professional wanting to go to that next level and make more money, get some new friends. See, when I played in the NBA, I hung around NBA people and I made NBA money. At the end of my career, all my friends were still NBA players. They would call the house and leave messages. Walt, what's up, dog? This your boy. I'm at the crib just chilling. Holla at your boy, dog. Holla at your boy. I'll translate because some of you guys look confused. They called to say hi and to touch base. And when you're free, call me back. Holla at your boy. My wife would get these messages and she would say, Walter, these are good guys, but you need some new friends. You're a motivational speaker now. You can't go to a conference saying, what's up, dog? I said, watch me. She said, you need some new friends. We need to join a country club. This is exactly what I said. What is a brother like me going to do in the country club? But I believe if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So the next day, we joined the country club. I walked in with my typical Chicago strut. All the other guys walk like this. I looked at my wife and I said, babe, I can't walk like that. They don't even look comfortable. But Brian Tracy is right. Your salary will be the average of your five closest friends. I've been at the country club for 12 years now. Now, I can walk like they walk. Now, I can talk like they talk. Now, I think like they think. And now, I make what they make. Remember this. Your salary will be the average of your five closest friends. Whoever you hang around, you will become like. So I walked in that first day of high school full of confidence until I passed the principal's office. And he was 6'6", 240 pounds. Everybody else called him Mr. Bond. I called him Dad. I went to high school in Chicago's inner city where my father was a principal of my high school. You think you had a rough life right now. Some of you guys wake up in the morning, think you have a rough life. It sucks, Mom. Why do I have to go to my room, Mom? I want to stay out late, Mom, with my friends, Mom. You think you had a rough life. How about going to high school in Chicago's inner city where your father is the principal of your high school? I had a rough life. When I got to that lunchroom the first day of school, I ate lunch all by myself. I could hear my classmates whisper, that's the principal's son. That's Mr. Bond's son. Where? Right there. Oh, I couldn't wait to get home. That first day of high school was devastating for me. I came home and I threw me a pity party. I know you have iPods and MP3s and you have a little iPhone listening to music. I'm 43. When I was in high school, I had a boombox. Ask your mom, ask your dad. We played records. I came home that first day of high school devastated and I went home, closed my bedroom door, and I brought out my boombox and I threw a pity party. I invited Lionel Richie to my pity party. I knew the next 4 years were going to be rough. And I felt so sorry for myself. And Lionel Richie helped me throw my pity party. Hello? Is it me you're looking for? For I wonder where you are, and I wonder what you do. Are you somewhere feeling lonely? or is someone loving you? Does anybody know what I did when the song was over? I played it again. And that's what a pity party is when you meditate on the wrong thing over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. I am the only motivational speaker that will endorse a pity party. I believe God gave us emotions. You should use your emotions. If you're sad, be sad. If you're down, be down. But here's my stipulation. Don't ever let your pity party last more than 3 days. If your boyfriend broke up with you, give it 3 days. Throw a pity party, but after 3 days, it's over. You lose the election to become president of your student council. Throw a pity party for 3 days and come up with a plan. It's over. I give you 3 days to throw your pity party. I don't care what happens to you. I know that life brings things, and I know everybody in this stadium has a little drama. I'm from the inner city of Chicago, and I belong to country clubs, and everybody's got a little drunk. I give you 3 days to throw your pity party, and that's it. Me and Lionel Richie had 3 days to work it out. I threw a 3-day pity party, and then I came up with the plan. I'm going back to high school. 4 years from now, I'll be starting a baseball team, basketball team, football team, president of the journalism club, and my classmates will vote me most likely to succeed. I'm going to make it happen on the athletic field and in the classroom. 4 years later, I was starting a baseball team, basketball team, football team, president of the journalism club. And my classmates voted me most likely to succeed. And I heard through the grapevine, all the girls thought I was cute. I made one mistake. I crossed the line of confidence and I became arrogant. I believe in confidence, but arrogance is a dangerous thing. Most of you guys are leaders at your high school, and you're all that and a bag of chips at your high school. I get that. I was all that and a bag of chips at my high school. But I want you to know, when you leave high school, it's a big world out here. And when you start going to college campuses, there's other people on that campus that was all that and a bag of chips at their high school. Some of you girls think you're cute, but there's girls out here cuter. Some of you guys think you're handsome, but there's guys out here better looking than you. Some of you guys are really smart, but there's people out here smarter than you. I want you to be confident, but don't you dare cross that line into arrogance. I made a vicious mistake, and I became arrogant. I was all that and a bag of chips at my high school. When I played high school basketball, the gymnasium was jam-packed. And when I walked in the stadium, my classmates would chant my name. Walter, Walter, Walter. Walter, 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 Walter. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I made one mistake. I crossed the line of confidence, and I became arrogant. I got recruited from schools all across the country to play college basketball. They would ring the doorbell. I was sprawling on the couch. Who was it today, Mom? Who was it today, Mom? UCLA, Arizona State, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin. Who is it today, Mom? Who is it today? Oh, I make myself sick thinking about how arrogant I became. I ended up going to the University of Minnesota. I got recruited by a guy named Clem Haskins. He walked into my house, three-piece suit, fresh haircut. He looked like success. He looked like money. He looked like success. He looked like money. He walked into my house with confidence. He looked like success. He looked like money. In the business world, remember this. The moment someone sets their eyes on you, they place a value on you. The second time they evaluate you is when you open up your mouth. So if you want to be successful in business, always look like success, always look like money. And if you're not that smart, look good and be quiet. My coach walked into the house, three-piece suit, fresh haircut, looked like success, looked like money, came into my living room, started talking to my mom. Did not even acknowledge my presence. He found out my mother is a native of Kentucky. Clem Haskins is a native of Kentucky. He stood in that kitchen, and all he talked about was Kentucky. He talked about bluegrass and red dirt, mint tuleps in the Kentucky Derby. He found out my mother's best friend in college was his wife's first cousin. I got a big sister named Jamea Byrne. She played college basketball herself. My big sister won 2 national championships. She played in Southern California with a girl named Cheryl Miller, Reggie Miller's sister, who starred right here in Indianapolis. His daughter was a high school All-American, visited USC. My big sister was her host on her recruiting trip. Clem Hastings came in and built a relationship with my mom and connected. He turned to my daddy. He said, "Mr. Bond, I don't know about you, but I'm a country boy from down south." He knew my daddy was a country boy from down south. My daddy was a sharecropper in Tennessee, lived on a farm. He said, "If your son plays for me, Mr. Bond, he must earn his playing time. I don't know about you, Mr. Bond, but I'm a country boy from down south." And right before he left the house, he said, "Walter Bond, All-State from Chicago, you are the key to my recruiting class, son. If I get you to my campus, you are the key. At your high school, you are the key. In your family, you are the key. Here's my philosophy. Wherever I show up, I am the key. Whatever team I belong to is going to win. If I'm in student government's going to win. If I'm on your basketball team, our basketball team's going to win. Why? Because when I show up, we're going to win. That's the kind of confidence I want you to have. No matter where you go in life, any organization you belong to, make up your mind that wherever I go, we're going to win. Does that make sense? I got to University of Minnesota. I showed up on campus. I met my first teammate. It went something like this. "What's up, dog? My name is Walt Bond, All-State from Chicago." In other words, the Messiah has arrived. Please don't cross that line of confidence into arrogance. My teammate stood up and he said this.
"What's your name again?" "Walt Bond, All-State from Chicago." "Okay." "That's not bad, but my name is Willie Burton, All-American from Detroit, Michigan."
All-American? Is that like a small town or something? All-American. The next day was the first practice. I'm going to find the toughest guy on the team. I'm going to dunk the ball in his face, and I'll be the star like I was in high school. When I was in high school, I was it and a bag of chips, baby. At my high school, I was the man. So I got in the locker room, and I found the toughest guy on the team. His name was Richard Coffey. Richard Coffey used to be in the military. He was a part of the 82nd Airborne. He had been in the military for 4 years before he even stepped foot on the college campus. Richard Coffey was 6'6", 235 pounds, and I'll be honest with you. The first time I saw his body up close was the first time I questioned God. I thought we were all created equal. I saw Richard up close. We are not created equal. And for the first time in my life, my confidence began to wane. When you walk on the college campus, I want you to know you are all that in a bag of chips, but there's other people on that conference, on that college campus, that was all that in a bag of chips at their high school, too. I got a hold of myself, and I said, "Wait a minute. I'm Walt Bond, All-State from Chicago. My coach told me I'm the key to turn this program around. I'm going to take this ball and dunk it in Richard Coffey's face." As soon as practice started, I grabbed the loose ball, went in with everything I had. "Bring it on, Richard Coffey. Woo, let's go, baby. Bring it on, Uncle Sam. Let's go." And right before I got to the rim, I saw a UFO. And it was flying in the sky, headed straight toward me. And we met in midair. Bam, splat, boom! And down I go. Richard Coffey stood over me and said this, "82nd Airborne, we do it all. First to fight, last to fall. Get up, you little freshman." "Walt, you okay?" I can't breathe. And before I knew it, my bottom lip started to twitch. Oh no, I'm about to cry. You can't cry in college. My only goal was to make it back to my dorm room without crying in front of my teammates. I made it back to my dorm room and brought out my boombox. I've been alone with you inside my mind. And in my dreams, I kissed your lips a thousand times. I sometimes see you pass outside my door. Hello! Oh, I threw a good old pity party for 3 days in FFA. I came up with a plan. One day I'm going to play in the NBA. One day I'm going to play in an NBA arena. One day I'm going to play in front of real NBA cheerleaders. But all of a sudden it hit me. My coach recruited me based on my potential and not who I was at the time. See, when you get accepted by your respective college or trade school or wherever you go to the next level, you're going to get an opportunity based on your potential and not who you were at the time. See, colleges look at ACT and GPAs because they want to figure out what kind of potential does a student have. My coach recruited me based on my potential and not who I was at the time. I love to speak to high school kids because you are loaded with potential. I want you to understand that all the success that you have in high school is awesome. It sets a platform for the next level. But when you get to that next level, baby, when you leave high school, you are starting over. You have to reestablish yourself at that next level. I want you to be confident because you're going to be successful. But you got to understand that when you get to that next level, it's going to be more competitive. Is everybody with me? I found out that Richard Coffey can bench press 300 pounds. Richard Coffey can knock me down whenever he felt like it. The next morning I woke up and I went to my coach's office. I said, Coach, where's the weight room? He says, Walter, are you okay, Coach? I'm fine. Where is the weight room? I got in the weight room. The only thing I could lift was the bar. But I made up my mind before I leave the University of Minnesota, I will bench press 300 pounds. And I thank God for Richard Coffey. Him knocking me down like that convinced me that I need to get into the weight room and I need to develop myself. And I got in that weight room. Ooh, ooh, clank, clank, clank. Ooh, ooh, clank, clank, clank. Ooh, ooh, clank, clank, clank. All right, add 5 pounds on each side, fellas. Ooh, ooh, clank, clank, clank. Ooh, ooh, clank, clank, clank. And before I left the University of Minnesota, could bench press 300 pounds. My coach recruited me based on my potential and not who I was at the time. Whatever you do after high school is going to be based on your potential. But it's your job to develop yourself. It is your job to get into your weight room. At the University of Minnesota, my freshman year, I don't play a lick. I had never sat on the bench in my life. At the end of that season, I went to my coach. I said, Coach, what do I need to do to play in the NBA? He said, Son, you don't play for me. And I said, I know, Coach, but I plan on becoming someone different. What do I need to do to play in the NBA? See, you got to be courageous in your life to go and ask the important people, what do I need to do to be successful? What do I need to do to be a doctor? What do I need to do to be a leader? What do I need to do to be the next president of the United States of America? Don't be afraid to ask mom and dad. Regardless of what you think, they are not idiots. I'm going to say that again. I want to help some people out. Your mom and dad is not an idiot. Your mom and dad does understand. If you're smart, you will go to mom and dad. You'll go to your counselor. You'll go to your high school principal. What do I need to do to become successful? I had to ask my coach, what do I need to do to play in the NBA? He said, you can't run, you can't jump, you can't dribble, you can't shoot, and you can't rebound, son. but you got potential. In this off season, you got to work. So every year I had this ritual. In my off season, I dedicated myself to get bigger, stronger, and faster because I knew if I'm going to play in the NBA, I must become someone different. At the end of every season, I would have the same dialogue with my coach. What do I need to do to play in the NBA? And every year, he voted me most improved player. Every year, I got bigger, stronger, and faster. And every year, that list got shorter and shorter and shorter. I became the top 6 man in the country. No one in America was better than me coming off the bench. Sure, I wanted to start on my college basketball team, but my coach decided that I was best suited to come off the bench. Remember this the rest of your life. Most people who have a professional job think they're overqualified for their position. Typically, they're the only one who thinks so. If you ever find yourself overqualified for a position, here's my advice. Keep dominating where you are until everyone else agrees that you're overqualified. I became a top 6 man in the country for 3 years. My senior year rolled around. Willie Burton and Richard Coffey graduated and went to the NBA. Willie Burton, my teammate who was a high school All-American, was a lottery pick, signed a $14 million contract with the Miami Heat. He came back to campus in a custom Corvette. I said, Willie, you did it, bro. You made it, man. I'm proud of you. He said, yeah, Walt, man, my Corvette changed its colors, bro. What? It's custom, bro. My Corvette changed its color. I thought he was just talking. But I stood in front of that dorm all day and just stared at his Corvette. In the morning, it was pearl white. By lunchtime, it looked green. But late that afternoon when the sky shifted, it looked purple. And all of a sudden I realized, it hit me, man, he did it. We all jumped about the NBA, but Willie, you did it. I had one more year. I was gonna finally start at the University of Minnesota. I was a preseason All Big Ten selection. All I had to do was have one good year. Maybe I can join Willie Burton and Richard Coffey in the NBA. I was in great shape, ready for my senior year. But the first game of my senior year, I broke my foot. I came back in 6 weeks in better shape, and I broke my foot a second time. And my college career was over. One of our season ticket holders offered me a job to become a hospital administrator. 2-year program, $75,000. Why? Because he liked me. I learned a long time ago that the likability factor is the best kept secret in business. People want to buy from people they like. People want to hire people they like. People want to be led by people they like. FFA, hear me and hear me good. The likability factor is the best kept secret in business. Are you likable? Right before I took this job, my daddy called me on the phone. My daddy was a quiet man, but I tell you what, when my daddy spoke, he was powerful. In fact, my daddy was always asking questions. So my daddy called me on the phone. He said, son, you broke your foot twice. What's next? I said, daddy, I'm going to be a hospital administrator. 2-year program, $75,000. And I'll never forget my dad. He asked me a question. He said, son, do you believe you're an NBA player? Huh? Do you believe you're an NBA player? If you believe you're an NBA player, son, go for it. If you don't think, take the job, son. Do you believe you're an NBA player? Let me tell you something about my daddy. When I was a little boy, my daddy would always pick me up. When he came home from work, he picked me up. When he saw me after church in the nursery, he picked me up. All I had to do was lift up my arms, and my daddy would always pick me up. If we have any parents in here, mom and dads, I want you to teach you something right now that you will never forget. The reason why children are fascinated with you picking them up is because it's a spiritual exchange. When you pick up your child, you change their perspective. Little kids all over the world, when mommy and daddy comes home from work, all they do is lift up their arms. And mommy, daddy, grandma, granddad, you know the drill. When we lift up our arms, your job is to pick us up. My daddy would always pick me up. He would always change my perspective. My daddy was 6'6". When he picked me up, I could see the world the way he saw it. But here's the problem. One day my dad looked at me and he says, "Boy, you're too big for me to pick you up." But my daddy never stopped picking me up. He never stopped changing my perspective. My daddy changed my perspective by asking a question: "Do you believe you're an NBA player?" I got emotional on the phone. I cut off my Lionel Richie. And I said, "Yes." My daddy picked me up one more time. I was 6'5", 215 pounds. I could bench press 300 pounds, but my daddy picked this baby boy up one more time, and he changed my perspective, and he said, "Son, if you believe you're an NBA player, go for it. Whatever you believe about yourself, FFA, go for it." I limped into my coach's office with a cast on my foot, tears in my eyes. I said, "Coach, what do I need to do to play in the NBA? My coach teared up and he says, "Boy, when I recruited you, I heard you was a mama's boy. But you're tough just like your daddy." I said, "Coach, what do I need to do to play in the NBA? And this is what my coach said to me. He said, "Son, you should be a motivational speaker." I thank God for him, because right now, I'm a motivational speaker because of that conversation. I'm a motivational speaker because of those words. Leaders, hear me and hear me good. Your words possess equity. 23 years later, I'm a motivational speaker because of a five-minute conversation, and one of my leaders planted a word in me, and words are like seeds. You're in FFA. You understand how seeds operate. When you plant a seed, it will grow. He spoke that word to me, and that seed has grown, and I just got voted top five motivational speaker in the world. Because I always had leaders in my life who were there to pick me up and change my perspective. I said, "Coach, I can talk the rest of my life. And I will. But what do I need to do to play in the NBA?" He said, "Son, lose 20 pounds and knock down a three. You can play in the NBA." I lost 20 pounds, and every morning, I would shoot 500 shots a day, every single day. I got invited to training camp with the Dallas Mavericks. Not only did I make the Dallas Mavericks, I became the first ever undrafted rookie free agent in the history of the Dallas Mavericks to start opening night. Could you imagine what was going through my mind? I had not started a basketball game since high school. In my first NBA game, I'm in the starting lineup. They dimmed the lights and put that spotlight right on me and start playing that NBA music. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. And right before they announced the starting lineup, I looked through the spotlight and I saw my mom, my dad, my brother, and my sister. I found out the night before that I made the team. And they all flew to Dallas to watch their baby boy play his first game. They shocked me. I had no idea they were going to show up. I saw my mom and she said, "Walter, mama baked you a cake." I saw my big sister. She had on the two national championship rings giving me the Trojan sign. And she waved at Cheryl Miller on the sideline. "That's my baby brother right there." I saw my brother. He said, "You still got a big head." Then I saw my dad. making sure I was home when those street lights came. Thank you for always picking me up and changing my perspective. Thank you for not letting me give up on my dream. Thank you for driving me all over the country and paying all that money for me to attend conferences like FFA. Then I realized not only is my dad here, my high school principal made it too. My high school principal was awesome. He would always tell his kids, go for your dreams. Don't live life with regrets. Go for your dreams. Do not live life with regrets. When I got that phone call, that wasn't my daddy talking to me. That was my high school principal saying, go for your dreams. Don't live life with regrets. I had a dream when I was 17 years old that I'm going to play in the NBA, and when I'm done playing in the NBA, I'm going to double my income in business. I'm 43, and I'm living the dream. I made it to the NBA, and now I'm on the verge of tripling my NBA income. And I sat in the seat. Just like you 20 years ago. And I saw my daddy. Thank you. And then I heard it. Starting that shooting off of Dallas Mavericks, 6'5", 215 pounds, from Chicago, Illinois, Walter Bond. I stood up so fast, I almost got lightheaded. I said, let's go, man. And I looked around. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm here. I made it. When I started my speaking business, the first time I spoke, I got paid $25 in gift certificates to Applebee's. And now, 13 years later, I'm speaking in front of 16,000 people. This is the largest venue I have ever spoken for in my life. So FFA, I remember high school like it was yesterday. That first day of high school, I went home and I threw me a pity party, and then I came up with a plan, and I've been making plans ever since. So when you leave this conference, I want you to remember one thing, and one thing is very important to you. Always look like success, always look like money. Make sure you understand the likability factor. And if you ever have something happen to you, I give you 3 days to throw a pity party, but that's it. You throw your pity party for 3 days, and then you come up with a plan. See, when I played in the NBA, I couldn't do what LeBron could do. I couldn't do what Michael Jordan can do, and that's why you had never heard of me. But when I started my speaking business, and I watched videos of Zig Ziglar, Les Brown, Tony Robbins, I watched the video, and I told my wife, I said, babe, I believe I can do what they can do. I never became the top basketball player in the world, but I'm here to tell you I've been sitting on benches all my life, and I will never sit on a bench again, and I'm not going to quit until I'm number one. FFA, I don't want you to quit until you're number one. So if you see Les Brown before I do, you let him know he ain't the only brother in town. If you see Tony Robbins, he's a little bigger than me, but I'm going to knock his butt out. If you see Zig Ziglar, he's getting old, but I don't mind picking on old people either. I want to compete, and I'm not going to quit until I'm number one. When you get on that college campus, whenever you get there, you get there and you compete. You be confident. You know there's going to be some other people just as smart as you, but you get in that conference college campus and you compete and you make sure you get in your weight room because you are qualified to be there. Do you hear me, FFA? If your parents are here, you give them a hug. And when you get home, you give them a hug because you've had people in your life who've always been there to change your perspective. I want to thank you for your time. This is Walter Bond on stage from Chicago.
Mr. Vaughn, thanks for being real with us this morning. Thanks for being real with us this morning and sharing that message. You're an impressive man. Take this as a gift, show our appreciation, but also take it as a way to remember your friends in blue jackets. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right.